Playful People's Radio Hour. Follow Alice down the rabbit hole and join her on her many adventures in Wonderland. In tonight's presentation of an adaptation of Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland.
Long ago, or perhaps not so long ago, a young girl named Alice was lazily swinging her legs over the branch of a tree.
Alice?
While she carefully plucked petals off of a flower.
Stop that.
Dropping them on her sister's head.
I'm trying to read.
But I'm terribly bored.
Why don't you try reading? I could lend you a great book. Perhaps even with some adventure in it.
Adventure? In a book? Yeah, right. Books are boring. There aren't even any pictures in yours.
The pictures form in your head using your imagination.
Ugh, you sound like Mom. If I used my imagination, I would imagine I could fly.
Alice, get your head out of the clouds and grow up.
Grow up and be boring? No, thanks. I'd rather... Wait. Did you see that?
What now?
It was a rabbit.
Okay, we see rabbits all the time in this garden. They like to eat the daisies.
Yes, well, I've never seen one wearing clothes.
Alice, don't be ridiculous.
I'm not lying. I just saw a rabbit with a jacket or vest or something on. It was right there. It had a little clock and a chain. What are those called? A pocket watch? The rabbit looked like he was in a hurry. I wonder where he was going.
You are insane. I'm going inside, where I can read my book in peace and sanity.
Well, maybe sanity is overrated. I'm going to follow the rabbit and figure out what's going on.
Fine.
Oh, little rabbit, where are you? Please be real. I don't want to be insane. I just like whimsical nonsense. Rabbit, this garden is bigger than I thought, and I definitely don't remember this tree. Rabbit? Little bunny, are you in this hole near the roots of the tree? Wow, this hole is huge. How far does it go? I bet it could fit if I just squeeze through and... Ah! Ow. Curiouser and curiouser. Oh my! How in the world is there a room down here? I wish my sister could see. This looks like a room from one of those Victorian novels she loves so much. How does one get out of here? I cannot go back the way I came. Oh, a little door. How am I supposed to get through that? Wait, was that little table there before? There's a bottle on it. The tag says, drink me. Well, I suppose there is no harm in drinking a mysterious little bottle of something.
Alice drank the bottle and immediately started to shrink.
My. Well, now I can fit in that door. Oh no, it's locked!
Alice looked all around and saw a key on top of the little table.
A key? But how am I ever to get all the way up there? This is ridiculous. Such nonsense.
Alice pouted. She was good at pouting, or so she was told by her sister and parents. She dramatically threw herself to the floor with a sigh and was about to allow herself a good cry when she noticed a small box on the floor next to her.
Yum! A little cake! How silly for someone to have written, "Eat me," on top in icing. What else would you do with a cake? I suppose if you find a dessert that tells you to eat it, you should. Bon appetit!
The moment Alice swallowed the first bite, she began to grow. She grew and grew until she was even bigger than before. She grew so big that she filled the room, knocking over the little table and pushing up against the walls. She was quite frustrated at this point, and having already had a good pout, she was ready for a full-blown tantrum.
This is so frustrating. All I wanted to do was ask that rabbit where he was going. Then I just wanted to go into the garden on the other side of that tiny door. Now I'm stuck in this room full of strange doors with nothing to eat but a tiny cake and a bottle of... Maybe if I find the bottle, I can see if there is enough inside to shrink me again. But oh dear, I have been crying a lot. Tears are quite large when you are a giant.
When Alice found the bottle, she poured the contents into her mouth, grabbed the key, and shrank down. She was swimming in her own tears. Her crying had created a large pool, carrying her through the little door. She was carried to shore on the back of a mouse, which was the size of a large dog to Alice's new small size. The beautiful garden was nowhere to be seen.
Are you okay? The storm took us all by surprise.
The mouse was then joined by an odd assortment of creatures. A dodo bird, a duck, a lory, an eagle, and an egret. All dripping wet.
Well, the first question, of course, is how to get dry again.
Yes, that is the question.
To be dry, that is the question.
I am older than you, so I know better.
How old are you?
I shall not say.
And how are we to know that you are the oldest?
Are you the driest?
The driest?
The driest!
I am the oldest!
Listen, one and all, this is the driest thing I know. William the Conqueror, whose cause was favored by the Pope, was soon submitted to the English, who wanted leaders and had been late much accustomed to aspiration and conquest. Erdwin and Mokar, the Earls of Mercia and Northumbria, declared for him, and even Stingland, the patriotic Archbishop of Canterbury, found it advisable. Found it! Of course you know what it means.
I know what it means well enough when I find a thing. It's generally a frog or a worm. The question is, what did the Archbishop find?
Well, you're just gonna have to keep listening.
Doing, my dear? Dry yet?
Still quite wet, I'm afraid.
We need a caucus race. It's the only way to get dry.
A caucus race? How does a political party's candidate selection help you get dry?
Well, it's much better to show you than to try and explain it. Okay, everyone, listen up. We are going to have a caucus race.
The dodo then marked out a race course in sort of a circle.
The exact shape doesn't matter.
The dodo then placed all the creatures, including Alice, along the course, here and there. There was no 1, 2, 3, begin. They all began running whenever they liked and stopped whenever they liked. Very suddenly, the dodo yelled, "The race is over!
The race is over! Prizes for all! Everyone wins! The girl shall present the prizes!"
Prizes? But I don't have any prizes.
What do you have in your pockets?
Well, I do have a few gummy bears. They're warm and squishy from being in my pocket. Here you go!
Alice gave a gummy bear to each animal, and they gobbled them up with some difficulty.
I do wish Dinah could meet you. She's my sweet cat.
Cat? Where?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you.
The cat is coming. I repeat, the cat is coming.
No, she isn't here. Oh, never mind.
As the animals ran in circles, terrified of a cat attack, Alice backed away and found a path. The path twisted and turned around on itself, and led one way and then another, always leading Alice in an unexpected direction. She then came upon a signpost with two arrows, One marched to Tweedledum's house, and one marched to the house of Tweedledee.
Tweedledum and Tweedledee must live in the same house, right? I should find out. Perhaps they know the White Rabbit.
Alice followed the marked path until she came upon two round little men. They were standing so still, arms around each other's shoulders, that Alice thought for sure they must be statues. She noticed that on their collars were written the words Dumb and D. She reached out to see if the collar had Tweedle also written on it, when suddenly one of the figures spoke.
If you think we're statues made of wax, you should pay an entrance fee to view us. Statues are only part of a museum and then cost money to see.
Contrise, if you think we're alive, you ought to speak to us.
First thing you should do is say, how do you do? And then shake hands.
Oh, of course. How do you do?
The two round little men both reached out at the exact same time to shake Alice's hand, and as she didn't know who to shake hands with first, she used both her hands at the same time. This immediately triggered Tweedledee and Tweedledum to start dancing and singing Alice around merrily.
All around the blueberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel.
Alice forgot about the White Rabbit and all of her adventures for a few minutes while happily dancing. Without warning, the Tweedle stopped dancing and dropped Alice's hands.
I guess we've gone beyond just saying, how do you do? I hope you're not tired from all that dancing.
Nope, and thank you very much for asking.
I'm not obliged.
For a dream person, you're a fine dancer.
A dream person? But I assure you, I am real.
You are being dreamed. If the person dreaming, you should stop dreaming. You don't act like a bang, just like a candle.
No, I wouldn't. I am not a dream. Besides, if I'm only a dream, what are you?
You know,
you know very well that you are not real.
Alice was getting quite upset now. She knew she wasn't just a dream, or at least she was pretty sure. This place was strange enough to be a dream, but she couldn't possibly only be a dream herself. Alice started to cry.
If I wasn't real, I wouldn't be able to cry.
You don't suppose those are real tears?
Must be dream tears.
You talk such nonsense. I suppose it's foolish to get upset. I'd better continue my search for the White Rabbit. Good day to you.
But the Tweedles had already forgotten about Alice, and had moved on to play fighting.
We should battle now.
There isn't any time.
Alice kept walking into the woods, which seemed to be changing. Where there were trees, there were now flowers as large as trees. All around her were blades of grass four times Alice's height. It was beautiful, colorful, and a good distraction from the confusing Tweedles. Alice came upon a mushroom as big as a small house. On top of the mushroom was a caterpillar, slinkily glowing bubbles from an intricately decorated bubble wand. The caterpillar was as big as Alice. And when he saw her, he stared silently for quite some time before speaking.
Who are you?
I hardly know, sir. I knew who I was when I woke up this morning, but I've changed several times since then.
Explain yourself.
I can't really explain myself when I am not myself, you see.
I do not see.
Well, I can't explain any more clearly because I don't understand it myself. I've changed sizes so many times and been called a dream person and, well, it's very confusing.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Maybe you just haven't experienced changing. Yet. You will, you know. You will change into a chrysalis, then into a butterfly. I bet that will feel pretty strange and confusing.
Not a bit.
Oh, fine. But to me, it feels strange and confusing.
You. Who are you?
Well, maybe you should tell me who you are first.
Why?
Alice was so frustrated, she turned around and started walking away.
Wait. I have something important to tell you.
Alice reluctantly stopped and turned around. Perhaps the caterpillar would be able to help, after all, even if he did seem to be an unpleasant creature.
Yes,
You must control your temper.
Is that all?
No. So you think you're changed, do you?
Yes, sir. I can't seem to remember things, and I keep changing sizes.
Can't remember what things?
I can't remember.
Well, what size do you want to be?
Honestly, I don't even care, as long as I stay one size, you know?
I do not know. Are you content with your current size?
Well, I would like to be a little taller. I must only be 3 inches tall right now. Such a frustrating and ridiculous height.
3 inches is a very good height!
Well, I'm not used to it.
You will get used to it in time. Be patient. In the meantime, one side will make you grow larger, and one side will make you grow smaller.
One side of what? What are you talking about?
The mushroom, of course. Goodness, pay attention.
And with that, the caterpillar crawled away, leaving Alice next to the mushroom, quite confused.
But the mushroom is round. Which side is which? Oh dear, I guess I'll just have to try it.
The next few minutes were a bit hectic. Alice took a piece of mushroom from each side and began to experiment. She took a tiny nibble of one, which ripened so quickly. And dramatically that she almost disappeared completely. She then took a bite from the other piece, which began to stretch her upward again. Though not evenly. Her neck looked like a giraffe, and her shoulders were nowhere to be found. She went back and forth between the two pieces of mushroom. Growing and shrinking until finally she stopped about 9 inches tall. Feeling content with her size, at least for now, Alice started walking out of the strange garden and back into the woods. She was startled when she spotted a cat resting on the branch in front of her.
Oh my! Hello, little Cheshire Puss! Would you please tell me which way I ought to go?
That depends a good deal on where you want to get to.
Honestly, I don't know and don't care.
Then it doesn't matter which way you go, does it?
Well, as long as I get somewhere.
Then you're sure to do that. Just keep walking. You'll end up somewhere if you walk long enough.
Okay. Well, what sort of people live around here?
If you go that way, you'll find a hatter. If you go the other way, you'll meet a march hare. Visit either you like. They're both mad. Off their rockers. Insane.
But I don't want to meet more mad people. I have had quite enough.
Well, you can't help that. We're all mad here. I'm mad, you're mad.
Why do you say that? You don't even know me. How do you know that I'm mad?
You must be, or you would not come here.
Well, how do you know that you're mad?
Easy. Do you agree that a dog is not mad?
I suppose so.
Well then, you know a dog growls when it's angry and wags its tail when it's pleased. Well, I wag my tail when I'm angry and growl when I'm pleased. Therefore, I'm mad. Are you going to play croquet with the queen today?
I haven't been invited, but I do love croquet.
Then I shall see you there.
With that, the cat disappeared. Well, most of him disappeared. He left his toothy grin and tail behind. Alice wasn't even surprised, as the day had been so strange already. She decided to walk in the direction of the March Hare, who perhaps wasn't very mad, as it is May, not March. She had not gone far before she came in sight of the house of the March Hare. She knew was the right house because the chimneys were shaped like bunny ears and the roof was thatched with fur. It was so large a house that she decided to eat a little bit of the mushroom that made her grow bigger. But only about 2 feet bigger. There was a table set out under a tree in front of the house, and the March Hare and Hatter were having tea at the table. A dormouse was sitting between them, fast asleep. Even though the table was large and set for many guests, they were crowded together at one corner. When they saw Alice, the March Hare exclaimed,
"No room! No room!"
"But there seems to be plenty of room. I'll just sit over here."
"Have some juice."
"I don't see any juice, only tea."
"There isn't any juice."
"Well, then it was a little rude for you to offer me juice."
"Well, it was rude of you to sit down without being invited."
"You know, you need a haircut."
"It is also rude to make a personal remark on someone's appearance."
"Why is a raven like a writing desk?"
"Oh, I do love riddles. I think I can guess that."
"Do you mean that you think you can find out the answer to it?"
"Yes, exactly so."
"Then you should say what you mean."
"I do. At least, I mean what I say, which is the same thing."
"Not the same thing at all. Why, you might as well say that I see what I eat is the same thing as I eat what I see."
"You might just as well say that I like what I get is the same thing as I get what I like."
"You might just as well say that I breathe when I sleep is the same as I sleep when I breathe."
"With you, dear Dormouse, it is the same thing. Now, what day of the month is it?"
"I believe today is May the 4th.
"Be with you."
"Excuse me?"
"May the 4th be with you." "But more importantly, we are 2 days wrong. March Hare, I told you butter wouldn't work to fix my pocket watch."
"But it was the very best butter."
"I bet you used the bread knife, which was covered in crumbs. Now there are crumbs in my pocket watch. Of course, now it's feeling crummy. Did you guess the riddle yet?"
"No, I give up. What's the answer?"
"I have no idea."
"Me neither. No idea."
"Haven't the foggiest."
"But why would you ask a riddle with no answer? What a waste of time."
"If you knew time as well as I do, you wouldn't talk about wasting it. We made it quite mad last year, and now it is always 6 o'clock.
"It is always tea time, and we never have time to wash dishes. So we set the table like this. Clean cup, move down."
The three animals rushed for new seats while pushing Alice off of hers. She decided that now was a good time to move on from this strange tea party. She left the little house and continued on the path, all the while hearing the March Hare and Hatter arguing about the best way to fix a pocket watch.
"Peanut butter and jelly."
"Jelly and peanut butter."
"Peanut butter and jelly."
"Jelly and peanut butter."
Which they both agreed must be peanut butter and jelly, or in one case, jelly and peanut butter. When Alice had walked quite far, she came to a tree with a door in it. As she had no other ideas on where she should go, she knocked on the door. There was no answer, so she went right in. Upon closing the door, she found herself back in the room with all of the doors. This time, she knew just what to do. She picked up the key from the little table and ate a bit of the mushroom until she was just the right size for the little door that led to the garden. She stepped into a beautiful garden and right away came upon 3 gardeners tending a large white rose tree. The gardeners looked like playing cards and quite anxious.
"Look out now, 5. Don't go splashing paint on me like that."
"I couldn't help it. 7 to my elbow."
"That's right, 5. Always blaming others."
"You'd better not talk. I heard the queen say just yesterday that you deserve to be beheaded."
"What for?"
"That's none of your business, 2.
"Yes, it is his business, and I will tell him. It was because 7 brought tulip bulbs instead of onions to the cook."
"Well, of all the injustice things, how should I? Wait, who is she?"
The card gardeners all looked around at Alice and quickly bowed to her.
"Hello, how do you do? Would you mind telling me, please, why are you painting the roses red?"
"Why, the fact is, miss, This was supposed to be a red rose tree. We put a white rose tree here by mistake. If the queen finds out, she'll have her heads cut off. We're doing our best to fix it before she finds out.
The queen! The queen is coming!
The three gardeners instantly threw themselves to the ground, flat on their faces. Alice looked around when she heard all of the footsteps. 10 card soldiers carrying clubs came first, then 10 courtiers, then 10 royal children. After the royal children came skipping down the path, hand in hand came the guests, mostly other kings and queens, and the white rabbit. Lastly, and with much fuss, came the grand entrance of the King and Queen of Hearts. Alice did not know if she should throw herself to the down with the gardeners or simply bow, so she just watched the procession. When they came to her, everyone stared.
Who is this? Idiot! What is your name, child?
My name is Alice, Your Majesty.
And who are they?
How should I know? It's none of my business.
Off with your head! Off with...
But that's nonsense!
Consider, my dear. She's only a child.
Fine. Name, turn these fools over. Get up. Now, what have you been doing here?
May it please your majesty, we're simply trying to... Well, see, there was a mistake.
Yes, I see. Off with their hands!
The queen turned to examine the roses. Three guards came forward to execute the three gardeners, but before they could reach them, Alice scooped up the gardeners and hid them in a nearby flower pot. The guards looked around, confused, having no idea where they had gone.
Are their heads off?
Well, their heads are gone, Your Majesty.
Wonderful. Now, Alice, do you play croquet?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Come on, then. Get to your places.
Everyone started running about in all directions, tumbling up against each other. After a few minutes, they settled down and the game began. Alice had never seen such a curious croquet setup in all her life. The croquet balls were live hedgehogs, and the mallets were live flamingos. The guards folded over to create the arches. The game felt like chaos, and Alice could not get her flamingo or her hedgehog to cooperate. When she finally felt that she had a good hold of the flamingo and was ready to hit the hedgehog, the flamingo would turn its head toward Alice with a silly expression, making Alice giggle. The hedgehog kept crawling away, and the card guards kept moving, making it even more impossible to go through the arches. To make matters worse, the Queen of Hearts kept getting angry at the other players, yelling,
"Off with their hands!"
Alice was trying to figure out how to escape when she suddenly saw the Cheshire Cat hovering nearby.
Cheshire Cat!
How are you getting on, Alice?
I don't think they play at all fairly. There doesn't seem to be any rules. The queen keeps ordering for people to lose their heads, and it is complete chaos and nonsense.
Fun, isn't it? Do you see that tray of tarts over there? They are the prize, the queen's favorite.
What tarts? I see no tarts.
There he is. Well, that will make the queen quite upset indeed.
Game over. I win. The tarts are mine. The tarts are gone. Who dares eat the prize tarts? Who was it? I call a trial.
Ah, yes. A trial. Jury, assemble.
The sudden shift from croquet to courthouse was very confusing for Alice, who was shoved onto a bench with an assortment of talking birds and animals. The king was the judge.
Jury, consider your verdict.
Not yet, not yet. There's a great deal that needs to happen first before a verdict. Witnesses?
Oh, call the first witness.
Called to the stand, the Hatter.
The Hatter, March Hare, and Dormouse came in, eating buttered toast and drinking tea.
I beg your pardon, Your Majesty, I hadn't quite finished my toast.
Give your evidence, or I'll have your head removed.
Your Majesty, I haven't even begun drinking my tea. There was a twinkling of the tea.
The twinkling of the what?
It began with the tea.
Of course, twinkling starts with tea. Go on.
While most things twinkle, the March Hare says that.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
I deny it.
Denies it.
Denies it. Write it down.
Write that down.
Next witness.
Next witness, Alice.
What, me?
Yes, you. What do you know about this business?
Nothing.
Nothing whatsoever?
Nothing whatsoever.
That's very important.
You mean unimportant. Of course, Your Majesty.
Oh, yes, indeed. Unimportant. Write that down.
Write that down.
As the jury wrote, important and unimportant, Alice nervously reached into her pocket for a snack. She often had candy in her pockets and was distracted enough in the trial proceedings that she didn't notice that it was not, in fact, candy that she ate, but a piece of the mushroom. She started to grow.
Silence! Rule 42. All persons more than a mile high must leave the court.
I'm not a mile high.
Yes, you are.
2 miles high.
Well, that's just ridiculous. There is no such rule.
Rule 42.
It's the oldest rule in the book.
Then it should be rule number 1.
Consider your verdict.
Off with her head!
Quite suddenly and unexpectedly, an army of cards with swords was slashing toward Alice. She turned to run, but tripped and fell into a large hole in the ground. The next thing she knew, she was waking up in the garden at home, her sister gently shaking her awake.
Alice, Alice, Alice! Goodness, you were tired. You've been asleep for ages.
I was asleep? I had the most extreme.
Well, you can tell me all about it over a nice cup of tea inside.
Oh no, anything but tea!
They made their way back to the house. Alice started telling the vivid story of her dream. Alice was glad to be awake and that everything she imagined about her time in Wonderland never actually happened. Or did it?
The radio drama which you just heard was inspired by Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland. The adaptation for Playful People's Radio Hour was by Katie D. Arcee, and Emily Pinton was the director, with music and foley done by the entire cast. Join us in March, same time, same station. This is PPP, Playful People Productions. Thank you, and good night.